Amen. Genesis chapter number 42. In Genesis chapter number 42, I'm going to read the latter part of this chapter. In Genesis chapter number 42, I want to begin in verse number 29. And it says this, "And they came unto Jacob their father unto the land of Canaan, and told him all that befell unto them, saying, The man who is the Lord of the land spake roughly to us, and took us for spies of the country. And we said unto him, We are true men, we are no spies. We be 12 brethren, sons of our father. One is Lot, and the youngest is this day with our father in the land of Canaan. And the man, the Lord of the country, said unto us, Hereby shall I know that ye are true men. Leave one of your brethren here with me, and take food for the famine of your households, and be home. And bring your youngest brother unto me. Then shall I know that ye are no spies, but that ye are true men. So will I deliver you, your brother, and ye shall traffic in the land. And it shall come to pass as they emptied their sacks, that behold, every man's bundle of honey was in his sack. And when both they and their father saw the bundles of honey, they were afraid. And Jacob their father said unto him, He have you bereaved of my children. Joseph is hot, and Simeon is hot, and ye will take Benjamin away, and all these things are against me. And Reuben spake unto his father, saying, Slay my two sons, if I bring him not to thee. Deliver him into my hand, and I will bring him to thee again. And he said, My son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone. If mischief befall him by the way, in the which ye go, then shall ye bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave." That's reading from verse 29 down through verse 38, found in Genesis chapter number 42. We all know the story that is involved in this passage of Scripture dealing with Joseph being in Egypt. Just to kind of set the stage of all that has happened and of all that is going on. Joseph, it has been some time since the brothers have sold Joseph into Egypt. And Joseph was in the house of Potiphar for a while. Potiphar's wife lied about Joseph and told that he was trying to lie with her and tried to rape her, when in reality he wasn't. But it caused him to be put in prison. And there he was for a while. But after a time, and I'm just kind of hitting some highlights, but after a while, he was brought out of prison to interpret the dreams of Pharaoh. And he did. And Pharaoh promoted Joseph to second in the land of Egypt. And in the interpretation of the dreams, He told about how there would be a time of prosperity in the land of 7 years. But after that, there would be 7 years of famine. The 7 years of prosperity had come on. But now the 7 years of famine had set in. But it was in all of the land, even in the land of Canaan. So the sons of Jacob, the 10 sons of Jacob, had gone into Egypt to get some corn. When Joseph saw them, Joseph recognized them, but they didn't recognize Joseph. Joseph accused them of being spies, and they didn't hide it. But Joseph was testing them, and he put Simeon in prison, gave them their corn, sent them their way, putting their money back in their sacks, telling them they could only come back again if they brought their younger brother back with them. As they went on their way, they found their money in their sack. They got home, told their father Jacob about the trip, about Simeon being put in prison, about being accused of being spies, and all that happened. Seeing their money in their sacks, they were all afraid. But in verse 36, Jacob makes a statement that I want to look at, thinking about in all of what's been said. Jacob makes a statement and he says, all these things are against thee. When Jacob says the word all, Jacob is using a word that means everything. All of these things. He is saying all that's happened, everything that's going on. Jacob is pulling in everything that is seemingly going on in his life is against him. That has happened in his life has seemed to just gone sour. He looks back at Joseph being now apparently dead. He looks at what is happening now with Simeon in prison. He is looking at now the call for Benjamin to have to go with them to get corn when they need it again. He is looking at everything that is happening in his life. And he is saying, it's just like everything that is happening in my life just seems to be against me. Yeah. I don't know if you've ever been there. And maybe you may even feel like that you're there right now. That your back is against the wall. That it's just like everything that is happening has gone sour in your life. That everything is just seems to be a setback for you. That everything has just seemed to fallen apart in your life. But that's where Jacob was. And that's what Jacob is dealing with. So what is happening that I see in Jacob's life is this. His faith has faltered in his life. It is not a matter of that he has lost touch with God entirely. It isn't that he has forsaken God completely, but his faith has become unsteady. His faith is wavering. His faith at the moment is staggering. And he is saying, you know, all of these things just seems to be against me. And I don't understand. I thought things would be working out. I thought things would be getting better. I thought things would be settling down in my life. I thought things would be working out for the moment. And he doesn't understand why that everything seems to be going wrong. Sometimes we get there. I don't care who you are. And things will test your faith in the Lord. And that's where Jacob is. So I want to preach for just a little bit of time, the remaining time today, on when faith falters. When faith falters. And sometimes our faith staggers. It falters in our lives. And so I want you to see the danger of what can happen when faith falters. First of all, one thing I see in Jacob's life, I can see bitterness happening here in his life. You say, what is happening that causes him to be bitter? What is bringing this in his life? First of all, is a terrible famine taking place. In chapter 41, verse 56, it tells us that the famine was over all the face of the earth. In chapter 43, verse 1, the famine was sore in the land. So there was this terrible famine that threatened to wipe out his herds, his cattle, and his very existence. You see, no doubt, Jacob had the idea that hell, I'm in the land of Canaan, surely things will settle down in my life. He had gotten away from Canaan. He had gone down to the land of Laban several chapters earlier. He had gotten him two wives down there, Rachel and Leah. He had had 12 sons. He had come back to the land of Canaan. He had settled down. And now, no doubt, he had thought, okay, things had settled down, but it hadn't. Things, and now a famine was in the land. But not only a terrible famine, but trouble in the family. Joseph was now apparently dead. And all of that was going on. Now Simeon was in prison. And now then they're saying Benjamin has got to go down if they're going to get more food. I mean, things are just falling apart left and right for him. Things can happen like that in your life. And if you're not careful, it'll cause bitterness to come into your life. You'll start to grow bitter toward things. You'll start to get bitter if you're not careful toward others in your life. You say, how do you see that? How do you see that? Because look at what he says in chapter 42, in verse 36. It says, and Jacob their father said unto them, he have ye bereaved of my children. He's blaming his sons. He said, you bereaved me of my children. And then in the latter part of verse 38, he said, then shall ye bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. He is blaming his sons. He is looking at them and he said, fellas, you're part of the problem. He says that ye have bereaved me of my children. He is blaming them. He's pointing fingers. I want to tell you, whenever you get bitter, you'll start pointing fingers at people. she'll start blaming others. She'll say it's this one's fault. It's their fault. And they're part of the problem. And they're the reason. He brought blame on his sons. As a matter of fact, he started just pointing fingers at all kinds of things. Look at some of the things. He began to even exaggerate. He said, Joseph is not. And then he said, and Simeon is not. He's talking like Simeon's dead. Simeon's not dead. He's just in prison in Egypt. But he said, Simeon is not. And he said, and you'll take Benjamin away. All of these things are against me. I want to tell you, he is so frustrated, he is getting so bitter about these things, that he is angry with his own sons about what's going on. I want to tell you, whenever you let things that happen in your life get to you, you'll start getting bitter. You'll start getting bitter at people. You'll get bitter at your boss. You'll get bitter at coworkers. You'll get bitter at family. And you'll get bitter at friends. And it'll end up, if you're not careful, you'll get bitter at God. You'll begin to say, God, why have you allowed these things in my life and happen unto me? So he's starting to get bitter about these things being against him. But it also brought self-pity into his life. He's beginning to feel sorry for himself. He said, all of these things are against me. All of these things are against me. He didn't say all these things are against our family. He didn't say, fellas, these things are just all seeming to happen to us. But he said, all these things are against me. He is having himself a pity party of one. He said, all these things are against me. Everything has turned on me. Everything has happened to me. I want to tell you what bitterness will do. It'll cause you to have resentment toward other people. You'll see other people having good things, and you'll resent them for it. You'll see others doing well, and you'll resent their happiness. And you'll resent their health when you're hurting. And you'll resent the good things that God has blessed them with if you're not careful. He is looking at them and he is saying, all these things are against me. I'm seeing bitterness. I'm seeing bitterness that's happening in Jacob's life. But not only that, I'm seeing some insensitivity taking place here. In that he says in verse 38, he says, my son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone. He is left alone. I listen to what Jacob is saying, and it is like he is saying, Benjamin is the only one left. You know what I think when I read those words? I wonder what the other brothers are thinking. I wonder how the other brothers feel. I mean, there stands Reuben. And in verse 37, Reuben is even offering his own two sons. He says, take my two sons, slay them if I don't bring Benjamin back. But the idea of Jacob is, Joseph is dead and Benjamin's the only one left. It's like he's forgot all about his 10 other or his 9 other sons. He is focusing on one son, Benjamin. He is insensitive to his other sons. I think about Simeon sitting in prison. It's like he's forgetting all about him. What about Judah and Asher and Levi and the other sons? He's forgetting about it. He's focusing on Benjamin alone. So like he's the only one that matters. I'm seeing he's just getting his focus all messed up. He is insensitive to all of the other boys. Sometimes when you get your faith all messed up and bitterness sets in, you'll get so absorbed with what you're dealing with and how you're hurting that those that are closest to you, that you'll treat them as unimportant. And you'll not treat them as you ought to treat them. I want to tell you, that's where he is. And that's what he's doing. And he's heaping a load of guilt on his other sons. I'm seeing bitterness in his life. But I'm seeing kindness in Jacob's life. There's a kindness here. There is a factor that's ignored by Jacob. There's a factor ignored by Jacob. What is the factor? That factor is God. He is ignoring God completely. The only thing that he's focusing on is Benjamin, really. He is focusing on Benjamin. He's forgot about Simeon. He's forgot about his other nine sons. The only thing he's focusing on, poor old Jacob, everything's against me. Woe is me. Everything's against me. And all I've got's left is Benjamin, and I'm just focusing on Benjamin. He's forgot about everything else. He has forgotten about God. He's forgotten about God. He is like he shut God out of his life. I want to tell you, that's one thing Joseph never did. In all of Joseph's trials, Joseph kept his focus on God. Joseph never understood anything that was happening. He couldn't understand why his brothers did the way they did. He didn't understand why Potiphar treated him the way he did. He didn't understand why he got forgotten in prison for 2 years. He didn't understand all of that, but he kept his focus on God. And finally, in the end, he told his brothers, "It wasn't you that sent me here, but God sent me here." He realized God's hand was on it all. And Jacob is forgetting that. Jacob isn't seeing that. I want to tell you, that's one thing. I think of another example of David. We just had it in our Sunday school lesson just the other week when David fought Goliath. David, when he was facing Goliath, he said, "For the battle is the Lord's." He kept his focus on God. I want to tell you, Jacob forgot all about that. He lost his focus being on the Lord. He forgot about God, and he forgot about that in his life. You see, there are evil things that people will do to us in our lives. There are evil things that often happen to us in our lives. But we've got to keep our focus on God. We've got to keep our realizing that God is the one in charge. There are things that happen we don't understand. There are things that come our way that we may not figure out. But we've got to understand that not one single event happens in our life, but what God's in charge of it all. That God's in control of it all. He sees and he knows all that is happening in our life, and his hand is over it and on it and at work in it. And Jacob was forgetting all about that. Jacob was saying, you know, all these things are against me. Just everything is against me. All is working against me. But he forgot that God's hand was on it. That's one thing that his son Joseph always didn't understand, but he realized God's hand was in it. But Jacob was forgetting that. But he not only was the factor ignored by Jacob, but there was the faithfulness forgotten by Jacob. Back in chapter 28 and verse number 15, God made a promise to Jacob that I want to remind you of that he seemed to have forgotten. In chapter 28 in verse 15, God promised Jacob this. He said, "And behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." God promised him that before he ever went down to Laban's house. God promised him that. And God said that to Jacob. But he seems to forget the faithfulness of God in making that promise. And so often we do the same thing. Sometimes we forget the faithfulness of God, that he's going to provide for us, take care of us, and meet our needs, and supply all things in our life. You and I have promises like this. Hebrews 10:23, where he says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." In Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:13, "If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful." He is faithful. He is going to be faithful in all things in our life. He has promised us to be faithful. So there is the promise that he's given to you and I. Our present circumstances may be difficult, but there are no grounds for despair as long as he is faithful. And he's always going to be faithful unto us in our lives and in our hearts. So I see bitterness here, but I see a blindness there, that he misses that. He's not seeing that like he ought to see it. He has forgotten the faithfulness of the Lord. But then in closing, I see a blessedness here. Jacob says, "All these things are against me." But he's not true. That's not true. It isn't right, because all those things really aren't against him. It is God's hand that's at work in his life. See, God is moving. God is working. I always stand amazed at how God puts all things in the crucible of his sovereignty and his providence. And he mixes it all together in our lives. And he works it for good and for his glory. I'm amazed at how he does it. I don't always see that at the moment in my life. I don't always see it in the right now. I don't always see it in the present experience. Sometimes I'm like Jacob. Sometimes I look at the things I'm going through and I feel sorry for myself, and I start inching toward the bitterness, and I say, you know, all this is against me. And I start looking at people and I say, why do they have it better than I do? And why are they not hurting like I hurt? And why do they get along better than I get along? And why am I dealing with what I deal with? Sometimes I go through those same things and my faith gets a little shaky. I'm honest. I admit that to you. But sometimes it's not till a little later that I realize how God has mixed all of that through his sovereignty and his providence to work it out for his good, or for my good and for his glory. That he's doing it as a work in my life and in my heart. You see, that's what he was doing. Jacob couldn't see it all right then. But God had a plan. You say, what was it? God was going to bring blessing out of the burden. God was going to bring blessing out of the burden. You see, God was going to get them down into Egypt. And he was going to bring blessing out of the burden. That looked like a burden to Jacob. God was going to bring blessing out of. He was going to bless the family again. He was going to restore the family. He was going to bring Joseph back to him again. And Simeon back to him again. And restore fellowship among the brothers. He was going to bring blessing out of the burden. And he was going to bring prosperity out of the problem. Only God can do that. I can't. I can't do that. But God can in His time and in His way. And that's what He did. That's why Joseph could say later on to the brothers that God sent me before you to preserve your posterity in the earth and to save your lives by great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. Joseph said, God did it. God did it. I want to tell you, there are times in my life that I wanted to get bitter. I wanted to get angry. I wanted to get upset. My faith, it got a little shaky and I got a little blinded by things. But it was then later on that I could look back and I said, you know what? God did it. God got me through that. And God handled it. I don't understand how God did all that. But He did. But He did. And that's how He does it in our lives and in our hearts. We just have to trust Him. But there's one more picture in this, and I know I've gone over my time, but there's one little picture in this I want you to see, and I'm closing and I'm done. At the end of this story, the time came that they needed corn again. They needed more corn, and Jacob knew it was going to have to go down. The brothers spoke up and they said, you know, we're not going to go down unless Benjamin goes. And Jacob really didn't want to send him. He didn't want to take it, you know, let him go down. But then one more of the brothers spoke up. You'll find it in the early verses of chapter 43. Verse number 3, and Judah spake unto him, saying, the man did solemnly protest, saying, ye shall not see my face except your brother be with you. He said, you know, if you'll not send him, if you're not going to get corn, you're going to have to send him. That's the only way. Jacob says, you know, I don't want to send him. I don't want to let him go. But listen to what Judah said in verse 8. And Judah said unto Israel, his father, send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both he and thou, and also our little ones. And I'll be a surety for him, and of my hand shalt thou require him, if I bring him not unto thee, and set him before thee, then let me bear the pain forever. You say, why is that important? Because Judah is the one that steps up and says, I'll take the pain. I'll be the surety. Father, trust me. Trust me. You say, why is that important? Because Judah has a son. Who has a son. And if you keep going on down the line, who has a son whose name is Jesus. And he says, trust me. trust me, I'll take care of you for all you need. Judas, the one that steps out and says, trust me. I thank God I've got one who's the greater son of Judah that says, trust me. Trust me. And he says that to you and me today. Just trust me. I don't know what's against you today. I don't know what's hurting you today. I don't know what you feel overwhelmed by today. But Jesus says, trust me. Trust me. If you will, he'll help you through it. He'll meet the need of your life. You may feel just like Jacob today. Somebody listening, somebody hearing in their car, maybe you feel today, and maybe you've even said it, everything just seems like it's against me. Don't let bitterness creep in your life. And don't let blindness keep you from seeing his faithfulness. Trust him. He won't fail you. I want Deborah just to play a little bit of a song. There may be somebody right here in this service. How she plays a verse. There may be somebody that needs to bow on an altar and ask him just to help you today. How she plays, I'll give you that opportunity. That if you need to come, this altar's open. I appreciate those that are here today. I appreciate the testimonies. Appreciate the sweet presence of the Lord that I felt in my heart. How maybe the message has been a blessing and a help to those that have been listening here, those that have been listening in their cars, those that have been listening by way of the live stream, and that'll hear it later. Then maybe it's been a help to their lives. To pray for one another, ask God to help in our many requests. Keep in mind our service on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Ask God to meet with us as we gather again. Be safe as you go home, and we'll see you the next appointed time here at Liberty Hope.